back to 1A, a podcast from First Presbyterian Church of Columbia, South Carolina. 1A is a podcast designed to take a brief but in-depth look at counseling issues from a pastoral perspective. Reverend Squires is the pastor of counseling here at First Presbyterian Church, and I'm Josh Adair, the intern for biblical counseling. Today's episode marks the seventh in our series discussing suicide, and today we discuss a brief look at how church officers can be on the lookout for caretakers and congregants, members of their church, who are struggling with suicide. If you have any comments about our show or a question about something you hear on this episode, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can find all of our contact info on our website at firstpresscolumbia.org. If you'd like to stay aware of new episodes, you can download our app by searching for First Presbyterian Church of Columbia SC in the app store of your choice. We hope this ministry is a blessing to you and those around you. Let's get to the conversation. Well, Josh, I just want to thank you so much again for being willing to have me back on the show and also for us to continue this conversation around how we care for caretakers. And in today's episode, Josh, we're going to actually discuss what it looks like for officers of a congregation, like pastors, elders, deacons. What does it look like for them to be sensitive to their caretakers? Because one of the realities that comes along with suffering that in this episode, when you have a loved one struggling with episodes of suicidal ideation or struggling with suicidal thinking in general, one of the realities as a caretaker is that you're just so covered up from the crisis that you're in that you can't really reach out. And so, you know, I think it's really helpful to think about how can officers be careful as they try to maintain a look at the health of the flock that's entrusted to them, especially as it relates to caretakers. And so that's my question to you now.
Yeah. I mean, I think you want to give them a grid like what we've just talked about.
Sure.
And not just this episode, but the past few episodes. Empower them to talk about this in a way that doesn't feel overwhelming and makes you feel like you are responsible for this person's life. I think you want to empower them that what they have in the gospel is what they need most. Even if they don't know the particulars, even if they don't know exactly what to do next, they have access to the Holy Spirit through God's word that will allow them to bear along many burdens, even burdens in which the outcome isn't what we think it should be or want it to be, ultimately for the good of God's people and for those who love him. And so not in a way that's gossipy, not in a way that, you know, puts this out for people for whom it's inappropriate, but in a way that as pastors and as staff members and as officers says, I'm not overwhelmed by the idea that you have a son, daughter, friend, coworker, sibling who is consistently struggling with suicidal ideation.
Yeah.
And when I see your face, I'm not thinking, oh goodness, please don't walk my way.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm afraid we're going to have the suicide discussion again, right? That you have the hope and light to be able to say, even if they come with me, I'm going to listen compassionately, I'm going to pray earnestly, and I'm going to show them Christ, right? And if I can do those things, then, you know, I really helped this person in that moment. And if they need more than that, then I'm going to try and get them to the professional people that they need.
Yeah, that's very helpful. I think that just like in our presuppositions about our care in crisis situations, there's thoughts that we bring to how we help create an environment where people who are struggling or have loved ones struggling with this, how we can help create an environment that's more conducive to that.
Yeah.
And just even recognizing, I love what you said about just knowing the long haul and resolution is not something that has to be something that I'm responsible for.
Right.
But just maintaining an openness and a thoughtfulness to care and show Christ to this person in this moment.
Right.
Is something the Lord can really use.
That's right. I mean, my goal, even in counseling, my goal is never, hey, I'm going to make you feel great and find a resolution at the end. I had to kill that part of me very early in my counseling career, coming from an IT systems engineer oriented thing where you had millisecond tools that said, okay, if it's over a certain number of milliseconds, there's something wrong, and now I need to go map and find out what's broadcasting and what's creating this thing, and I can tune. And at the end, I get you performance that is supposed to be the performance that your network is supposed to be at, right?
People aren't networks.
People aren't networks. They're not computers. Yeah. They don't work that way.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes all I can do is be in their presence, weep with them, show them Jesus the best way I know how, and then say, I'll see you again soon.
And get some hobbies. Because hobbies will help you go from point A to point B, experience some resolution while you love on people patiently.
Right.
So, anyways, well, we're coming up on our time for today. But Josh, is there anything else that you would want to add to people, prayer, presence, anything that you feel like you've not covered yet?
I don't think so. Next time we'll talk about Satan's temptations to those who live in the wake of suicide. It's going to be very similar. Again, it's the mother of learning is repetition, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of this is going to be a different way of reframing similar information.
Sure.
But there are three primary ways in which Satan tends to tempt people in the wake of suicide, if that be friends, even people who barely knew someone who committed suicide, and we'll talk about those.
Yeah, well, I look forward to continuing it and seeing how the Lord can continue to work in even these, the hardest of circumstances, Josh.
Amen. Well, we hope that the people who are listening to this have gotten something out of this, that it points you to Christ. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, we would encourage you to contact either me or Josh Adair.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us at jsquires at firstprescolumbia.org or
jadair at firstprescolumbia.org.
And until next time,
see you then.
God bless.